joins us. He's got his On Deck show tonight at 5 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern, I know there was still a lot of people, maybe they're still out there, that said, hey, what are they going to do against the upper echelon teams? We've added like new qualifiers each week of this season, I feel like, to prove what the Royals may or may not be. Do you feel like last night, what won some people over?
I don't know if there are those people remaining. I mean, they're 9-10 over the course of this riptide, this 20-game stretch, man. Going into it, I think we all were I was hoping that they would go 10-10. I said I would take 8-12 right now. So once they picked up that eighth win, with the help that Boston and Detroit and Seattle have lent over the past few weeks, knowing that that postseason spot is basically wrapped up, man, this team has now entered house money stage for me. I mean, everything that I've asked of them from the offseason to maintain through May and don't drown and do this and outlast this, they've done it all. If they don't win the division, too bad. Can I be upset that they're not a better, a more well-rounded playoff team? I mean, for God's sakes, they're a playoff team. So, no, to get a performance like that last night where, you know, base running is on display, you get some, well, the defense really never needed to make an extraordinary play because the Yankees never touched second base against Lugo, Bubich, and John Schreiber. So, listen. I think the tests are now done. The only test that, to me, remains is what do you do with the opportunity in October? I know what Salvi's going to do with it. I feel like I'm pretty sure what Bobby's going to do with it. I'm hoping this rotation can flourish because, man, they're the reason why this team's going there, and I'm excited for them to get their day in the spotlight coming up in a few weeks.
I think it's something maybe we're going to discuss more as a show tomorrow, Vern, but I think that's – or later in today, but I think it was part of the reason I told Gold that I viewed last night's game going into the series. I viewed last night's game and tonight's game more as a better litmus test of what the Royals are going to be up against a playoff team. I figured game one, if you told me they're starting three games on the road against the New York Yankees, well, Brady Singer's not starting and James MacArthur's not coming in for the seventh. That doesn't tell me what playoff team the Royals are. When Lugo starts and the rest of the lineup are in, and tonight when Cole Reagan starts and the rest of the lineup is in, that tells me how they actually match up against the Yankees. And at the very least, I know they're going to get their ass kicked like what happened in the earlier part of the season when the Royals were still trying to find their way against winning teams.
Yeah, but you know, come October, it just matters. You know, who's hot? Who's playing well in 3 weeks from now? Certainly the bullpen, the pitching staff is going to look very different come the postseason. But again, man, we have 16 games remaining. We know who this team is, what this team is, who's capable of what the expectations are going to be in 3 weeks for Lugo, Reagans, Bobby, Salvi, what we're going to expect out of Massey, out of Melendez. Again, to me, the litmus test, the tests, period, are done because the postseason is such a very different game, and yet the Royals game can't change all that much. Lorenzen, Singer, Marsh, those guys being available in the bullpen, makes the team better, but still, I'm not in a rush to take Waka, Lugo, or Reagans out of the game, while a majority of, you know, Cleveland, San Diego, Milwaukee, maybe even New York, outside of a Gerrit Cole start. While a lot of teams might be quick to go to their bullpen and start throwing the big dogs at you, I think the big dogs are your starters in Kansas City. So that's why I feel like we know what this team is, and we have a peek of what it's going to look like in October. You need Lugo to face Aaron Judge three times. You need Reagans to face Aaron Judge three times because he's likely going to come to the dish four times. Lugo can handle, Urseg can handle one of them, but then you're going to want Waka, Lugo, Reagans. You're going to want them in the big spot. At least I do. For as good as Lorenzen and Marsh could be in that spot, for as clutch as maybe a Hunter Harvey, James McCartney. No, there's no other option, right? You want it to be starter handing it off to Lucas Urseg. That's going to be the recipe for this team.
When you look at what the starting rotation is, you can do the pretty simple math here now, Vern, which means if the rotation lined up the exact same it would the rest of the way, the last three games of the regular season would be Lugo, Reagans, And you would think, well, that's not what I want. I want to line that up differently if you're going into those final three games, and Waka, of course, for those final three. Should they? I know they don't want to give up on the division, but what you're saying is they're 5.5 games up with 16 to play. Yeah. At what point do they have to start thinking about how do we shift this rotation so that those guys are available in the playoff series and not the last three games against the Braves?
I think once the division, once a first-round bye is out of reach, I think then you start lining it up for the wild card series, because until the wild card series is the last option, I'm trying to earn that bye. So I don't know when that happens, but shoot, 16 games remaining, I would imagine it's going to be
pretty
fairly
quick.
Clear by this time next week. Yeah, so, you know, a week, 7 games, 8 games from now, I think it'll be pretty clear of whether or not they should put the foot on the gas pedal and try and track down Cleveland over the course of those final 6 games on the road against Washington and Atlanta, or if that's a, all right, let's prepare for this postseason push, these 3 straight games starting up on Tuesday, October 1st.
We're talking to Josh Fournier, our Royals insider. At this point, there's no question about the leadoff spot anymore, right? That's all solidified.
No, I mean, that's Tommy Pham.
Yeah. It's nice not to have that worry anymore. We were talking about that 2 weeks ago, and now Tommy Pham has just completely grabbed onto that.
Yeah, look, he's not replacing Vinny, but what he is doing is giving you a quality at bat in the first inning, which is what Vinny brought this team. Pham, you know, his OPS with the Royals, right around 800. Yeah, you'll take that, and he's consistently hitting bullets up there, giving you a quality plate appearance. He's terrific in the clubhouse. Michael Massey going on about the example that he set. Yeah, the leadoff spot certainly has been checked moving forward. A corner outfield spot that, you know, his ability to bounce between left and right, and I think we'll see him at DH possibly come the postseason.
I just really look at the lineup. It helped them so, like, I thought the way that it worked was they were never as bad as they were going to lose every game just because they didn't have Vinny Pasquantino. But they needed, like, this short winning streak to remind themselves they can still win baseball games. You've seen this before. They started to reel. They had this massive injury, and then losing followed it, Vern, and then they had to find a way to kind of recalibrate, and now they're just back to winning the same way. Does it seem kind of silly now, like, that we were, losing Vinny does matter, but that they were going to have no offense, I guess, in the absence of Vinny?
No, because, again, that was prior to Tommy Pham arriving and producing.
Yeah.
Robbie Grossman, Yuli Gurriel, they've certainly brought something. You know, you look at, you know, Gurriel's come through with some big knocks. He drove in a run. He's scored a run in each of his first 3 starts since coming over. So I'm not trying to knock them, but that Tommy Pham, that's the Tommy Pham that we thought teams were going to line up for going into the trade deadline. Now he went to St. Louis and laid an egg, never really got going there. But yeah, this is, again, exactly like Alex said, this is what this team has been missing all season. They're still missing Vinny Pasquantino. And to be honest with you, you know, moving Salvi back up to the 3 spot, giving Bobby the proper protection, I think also played a factor into why the offense struggled so immediately in the absence of Vinny Pasquantino. But, you know, let's not get this twisted. Come October, when you're facing a Garrett Cole in game one, a Corbin Burns in game one, you're going to be hard-pressed to allow Bobby or Salvi, even if they're batting back-to-back, to beat you. MJ, Renfro, Massey, one of these guys, Paul DeJong, they're going to have to step up in a big way. So I still think the absence of Vinny is glaring. Thankfully, of late, your all-star pitchers have been extraordinary. Alec Marsh has been answering the bell. But, yeah, I think the postseason will shine a light on the whole of Vinny Pasquantino, certainly.
You know, the Royals today, they sent out their executive of the year pitch, basically, and manager of the year pitch for both Matt Quatrero and J.J. Piccolo. I'll see if you agree with us that, I mean, executive of the year should be a no-brainer in baseball
slam
this
dunk.
Year. I mean, that's done. What about manager of the year? It's been down to 2 guys all year anyway, I feel like, and Stephen Vogt and obviously Matt Quatrero. Do you think that the voters are just going to simplify it and be a little lazy and just say, well, whoever wins the division is who they're giving it to?
That's where I would go. And I am lazy, so I'm fine with that characteristic. But
oversimplifying it a little.
Well, I think winning the division, there is something to it, right? It almost slipped away from him. And the shoes that he's replacing, it's not as if he was the bench coach and he's just sliding over, taking over for Terry Francona. I was and still am amazed that that team, that organization, hasn't missed a beat while you lose one of the three best managers of the last quarter century. So I'm fine with Stephen Vogt. If they win the division, him walking away with the crown.
So if you voted across the board, let me see if you get this right. You'd vote right now, vote as the AL manager of the year. You'd give JJ the executive of the year. That's a no.
No doubt.
Would you give Lugo or Reagans the time of day, or just give Scooble the Cy Young? And would you give Bobby the time of day, or would you just give it to Judge?
Listen, Bobby is the MVP. If the Yankees win their division, okay, I can understand him receiving the award. If the Royals don't win their division and the Yankees do, fine, Aaron Judge is the MVP. But if neither wins their respective division, Bobby, to me, is just so clearly the MVP. I mean, what he's doing is more rare than what Aaron Judge is doing. He's no longer on pace to hit 62 home runs. I think he's on pace for like 55, 56. You know how many times I've seen that in my life?
Plenty.
I've never seen a shortstop do what Bobby's doing this season because it's never been done. I mean, the numbers that Bobby's on pace to put up have really only been put up by Colorado Rockies when the building first opened. He's doing it in Kansas City at shortstop for a playoff team hitting at the top of the lineup every single freaking day. Bobby's the American League MVP, and as far as the Cy Young is concerned, man, Tarek Skubal is pretty nasty. The fact that Detroit is still even in the race helps him. So, yeah, I'm fine with Skubal walking away with the award. But, you know, what Lugo and Reagans are doing right now is battling it out for the best season put forth by a Royal since Zach Greinke's 2009. These two, it's the best combo we've seen in Kansas City since Mark Gubazon, Brett Saberhagen back in 1989. These guys are putting together two of the finest seasons in franchise history, doing it together while Bobby's putting up an MVP season. Salvi's cementing his case for Cooperstown. Listen, we're never going to forget this season. No matter how it finishes, this is a unforgettable summer of baseball in Kansas City.
Did you see how Aaron Judge cursed himself, Vern?
No, I didn't.
He does not have a home run since he appeared in a home run derby in a Paw Patrol episode. He won a home run derby in a Paw Patrol episode, and that's been it. Not a single home run since the date it aired.
Well, that's science.
That would never happen to Bobby, the true MVP. He could have been in Paw Patrol and still be hitting slugging dingers.
And if it did, you'd sing a song, fix the whole thing, and we'd be well on our way.
4-1, Vern. 4-1 since the September anthem.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Nobody benefits from it more than me, so I greatly appreciate it.
There you go. Josh Furnier's on deck show tonight at 5 o'clock.